Good afternoon and welcome once again to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host once again. Glad to have you along on this Friday afternoon. Well, let's say you're going to the movies, and one of the things that you always expect when you go to the movies is that you're sitting there and you'll hear a soundtrack. It could be Randy Newman, John Williams. You always hear that soundtrack going on in the movies. But what if you went to a movie and there was an orchestra between you and the screen playing that music? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We have people from the Anchorage Symphony here. We have Randy Fleischer, who is the conductor and maestro. Welcome to the show, Randy.
My pleasure, Steve. Good to see you.
We also have Susan Wingrove Reed, who is the education consultant. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And we're talking about, of course, this annual thing you guys do, where you bring in these silent films and have an orchestra. This time is two films by Charlie Chaplin, The Kid, and also The Idle Class. Take off, guys. Tell me all about it.
Two genius films. Laugh out loud funny. Side-splitting funny, you know, like any Chaplin movie. But at the same time, you know, really the essence of his genius, I mean, there's so many layers to it, but it's the pathos of the human condition as well. In every one of his movies, there's something terrible happening, and then there's a ton of hilarious things happening.
And this film, the Kid, actually has a tagline about something about a laughter and a tear, too. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And The Kid was, I believe, his directorial debut, and it was also the first score that he composed. A lot of folks don't realize he wrote a lot of the scores to his
Smile was my favorite song.
Smile, well, of
yeah.
course
yeah,
of we course. Know that.
Modern
exactly.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect Charlie Chaplin song because it's so, you know, it's so sad. It's a sad song about a happy topic.
In fact, Charlie, on film in this, in The Kid, it's the first time you see the tramp,
That's
his
right.
character, cry. And
oh.
So the poignancy of that moment is remarkable.
And it's one of the most iconic images in all of culture internationally, the tramp. You know, so for a guy like Chaplin to have such enormous genius and to make us laugh, but at the same time expose elements of our vulnerability, our loves, our everything, it's just a pleasure. I must say I'm so tickled. We were just reminiscing we think this is the 11th year that we've done this, that this combination has found such a loyal audience here in Anchorage.
And Susan, now you're playing in the orchestra, right?
Yes, I play the piano and the celeste, so I do little kind of sound effecty things on the celeste, which is most famous for its role in the Nutcracker for the Sugar Plum Fairy, but it's beautiful colors in the orchestration.
So what must it be like to be in the orchestra? Now, normally there's a relationship between the conductor and the orchestra.
Yes.
Now you're adding this third player.
Well, you know, typically, one of the things I love about being a conductor is that, you know, I study the music, you know, really in a thorough fashion and try to, you know, really understand the composer's point, be an advocate for the composer, find what's the human statement here. And I follow my muse spontaneously on stage. I'm whatever tempo might be a little faster this day and a little slower that day. You know, this particular
yes.
fermata might be a little longer, a little shorter. The musicians never really know
yeah,
what
we'll
I'm going to do.
Yeah, we'll talk backstage and
exactly.
go, oh, Randy really decided to go feisty today.
Right. Exactly. Somebody, you know, take caffeine out of his diet, you know. But with these film scores, where the sound is wedded frame by frame, second by second to the movie, I can't do that. My task is to be a perfect human metronome.
This must be pretty difficult for you,
it's
huh?
It's extremely difficult. I've white knuckles the whole time every time we do this. And, you know, I often muse. It's like, you know, the person having the least amount of fun in that theater is me because I'm sweating every... Because so then you get a second behind the movie. You get a mm-hmm. second or two ahead of the movie. It's like, and I have to adjust. So the muse... I leave the muse at home. I leave the muse in the hotel and I become a human metronome. And the musicians are painfully aware of this because they can see the look of utter concern and panic on my face for an hour and a half, and they have to follow me absolutely verbatim, no gray area, no wiggle room. So it's a very unique experience for us. We have to chase that movie with utter precision for 90 minutes.
And we don't see the movie. In fact, those of us who are, you know, like me, I'm definitely always fascinated with the history of the film and the film itself, et cetera. But we don't ever see it at rehearsal. And so most of us watch the movies on our own in advance. But we have to be, again, it's a different kind of playing.
It is.
It's really intense. Like, we had a rehearsal on Thursday night No, it was Wednesday night. That was our first rehearsal.
Wednesday night first.
And we're just getting adjusted to the tempos and all of those kinds of things. But we're already aware then for the Thursday night rehearsal that happens when we start working with the movies.
Exactly.
We have to just be totally focused to the stick. Because things will adjust, and the Thursday night rehearsal is our only chance to stop and start. And
exactly.
Then our Friday night dress rehearsal is, we've got to run it no matter what happens. And again, it's really intense focus from the players, a different kind of playing.
Typically, the way symphonies make music and interact with the conductor, they're not necessarily just, you know, hanging on my stick the whole time. It's kind of, when it really is great, it's big chamber music. And everybody's listening to the other musicians as they solo, and it could be that a particular musician plays this solo or that phrase a little bit differently. That's wonderful. We welcome that. They're not just robots. They're artists. They're human beings. Not tomorrow night. we're all human metronomes. We have to recreate that score. And the strange thing, because I'm not perfect, I might be just a smidgen faster or a smidgen slow. So this one spot, even though the movie hasn't changed, is going to depend upon exactly how we have executed each passage. So this one spot might be a little faster or slower, depending upon exactly how perfectly I've nailed all these tempos. So this experience for us once a year is a very different kind of making music.
And for those just tuning in, we're talking with Randy Fleischer, who's the conductor and maestro of the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra, along with Susan Wingrove Reed, who is the education consultant and a player, keyboard player. With this, we're talking about tomorrow night, Saturday, January the 14th, 8 p.m., Atwood Concert Hall, two films, two Charlie Chaplin films, The Kid with
Classics.
Jackie Coogan.
Exactly.
And yes. Some of you may know who he is. And also The Idol Class, which is a film that some people may not know about. And Susan, I'm going to go to you now. You have a whole pre-show education about these two films, don't you?
Yes.
Let's hear something about
that.
On
the evening of the performance, I do an optional pre-concert kind of backstage tour in terms of the history of the piece, or the pieces in this case, the two films, and some of the background about Chaplin, et cetera. So it's a chance for anybody who's interested in knowing a little more, which I'm just such a fan of always knowing as much as you can about what you're about to experience.
And if I can jump in here real quick, Susan does an absolutely magnificent job of this. I mean, if you want to enjoy the concert further, just knowing a few things, the themes, the history of the piece, the context of the piece, you know, you'll enjoy Rite of Spring more if you know what Susan's going to tell you, that it was a scandalous premiere and all these kinds of things. So I just want to give a big pat on the back that you do a fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
Tell us something that we would just make us not know about these films.
Sure. Let's start with The Idol Class. Some of the things I'm going to talk about include the fact that Charlie created this role of the tramp by experimenting with, he had a break and he wanted to put on some costumes and try some things out. And then he got inspired to create a character because of what he found in this dressing room. And so in the movie The Idol Class, it's a really interesting historical thing to know that he plays two roles in this film. He plays the tramp, but he also plays this rich young alcoholic husband of a woman that the tramp gets kind of a crush on. And so it's a dual role for him going back and forth. And
which must be really interesting because I would imagine it's one of the few times you see Charlie Chaplin not as the tramp.
Not as the tramp,
exactly. Because his international career, the beloved Chaplin, who was like the first superstar of the 20th century, was the tramp. There's something really cool about the film. Things that happen that show you perspective, like this woman that he ends up getting the crush on exits from this beautiful train car, and he exits from having ridden underneath the train car. So that sets up their class difference. And then he learns that she has an abusive alcoholic husband, role he's also playing. And so he doesn't think that this guy is good enough for her. And so then this whole thing just takes this weird journey, and there's this incredible golf game sequence that's just, I don't know how the audience won't just split their guts laughing.
It's hilarious.
Another reason why the musicians can't watch the film.
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we've had some issues. You know, they can see behind the screen, they get distracted, and it's like, no, you got to pay attention. It's interesting because, Steve, you're an actor, that and I've heard this from so many actors, that they put on the costume and become the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that that was how the tramp actually was born.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
It was an experiment in a movie studio, and he was just fooling around.
That's true of so many actors.
And then it took off in terms of him exploring. I mean, he was such a hero in the Depression era all around the world to give hope. And the downtrodden person, the feeling that, you know, you're yearning for things that you can't have in your life, like love or the things that you want materially or family.
Well, timing was for that character was perfect.
It was perfect.
Spot on.
And he was also the director, the writer, the composer.
Yes.
So he had his fingers in every part of the film.
He did. He was a one-man show, you know, soup to nuts. I mean, and think of the enormity of the genius. You know, you mentioned that you came to acting through mime. You know, he's the mime's genius, you know. But also, I think one of the things he brought to his the nature of his directing is this to stop this over-the-top miming silent film acting and really bring real acting, you know, to the screen. There were others that did that, but he was one of the real champions.
Marcel Marceau, the famous French mime, said that he was inspired as a child to become a mime. Because he saw Charlie Chaplin's films.
I can recall Charlie Chaplin using so little to do so much.
Oh my,
the subtlety of
what
he does.
A little glance, a little look. Oh, my God.
Some people have an image, I think, when I've talked to folks about silent movies as being overacting and all of this. But with Charlie, it's very sincere acting. And he said once, and I was taken with this, he said, "It was my goal to always take a serious idea in every movie I made and make it funny enough to suit my audience." So he's always trying to tell us a story or make a point about a human being, but wants us to laugh, but still embrace that idea.
Randy, I want to ask you a question about his music. Now, we talk about him being a genius as a comedic actor and a director.
Right.
What about his music as from a music standpoint?
It's quite good. I mean, when you consider how great he was at all those other disciplines to also be able to compose. Now, he didn't read a note of music. He would literally sing these themes to somebody who would take them down. And, you know, the music is somewhere between, you know, Tin Pan Alley and the occasional kind of Strauss. Well, a lot of the most slapstick scenes, he wrote a beautiful, you know, Johann Strauss-esque waltz to, isn't the humor of the human condition a perfect ballet, a perfect comedic ballet? He was a very good composer. Was he Mozart or Beethoven? No. But the film scores did what great film scores need to do, and that is it struck at the essence, the core, what's really happening in terms of the human drama of this moment, the human condition of this moment, and how can we give that sound? Sort of a Tin Pan Alley genius, if you will.
But he's able to bring it all together.
Absolutely did.
Absolutely. And I wanted to mention, too, then, something about the second film on the program Saturday night is The Kid. And Jackie Coogan, who plays the child in this movie, many historians in film say that this is the best performance by a child actor in the history of movies. It's such amazing acting, and Charlie was brilliant directing him, finding him, selecting him, working with him. Coogan had an amazing career. Historically, though, it's also kind of fun to know that his parents drained all of his income. And so they created a law called the Coogan Law, which was set up to protect child actors from their parents.
Well, we could talk more and more about this. And you will if a half hour before this 8 p.m. Your presentation comes out at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Saturday, this coming Saturday, at the Atwood Concert Hall, Anchorage Symphony with Charlie Chaplin's The Kid and The Idol Class. I want to thank my guests, Randy Fleischer, Susan Wingrove Reed. Thanks a lot for being on the show, guys.
Thank you, Steve. Our
really
pleasure.
Fun. Thank you.
Until next time, this is Steve Hunt for KSKA and Stage Talk.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.